Welcome back, everyone. It is Nick, the host of Tabletopped, and today we have a brief sneak peek of Wild Magic, the extra podcast we put out monthly for our Patreon subscribers. You can subscribe to the Patreon for as little as $1 a month. Go to patreon.com/tabletopped and see what we have on offer for you. For those who are not quite sure, take a listen to this brief sneak preview and see what you are missing out on. I promise you'll want to hear some of these conversations. All right, here is Wild Magic.
Our entire village.
Yeah. So I think that in the future, I really want to start like bringing in a little bit more levity. Yeah.
So, you know, you give a guy one 40K book, then he reads the entire lore, and then all of a sudden everything's grimdark.
Do you think Candle Cove is bleak?
I mean, dude, what the hell are you talking about? Candle Cove is so bleak. You
show up and there's people who are sacrificing children like every year?
Well, not always children, but yes, though in this one case.
They wanted to sacrifice. Just this one time in 400 years. Yeah. I doubt it. It's probably more than that.
Maybe there's something wrong with me.
No, there's nothing wrong with you. We all just are edgelords and we don't have any real struggles in our lives, so we just make up imaginary ones.
Yeah, exactly.
Games are pretty lighthearted and fun.
Are you kidding me, Rio? Is that a joke? Because it's a good joke.
What?
Wait, yeah, you're right. You know, fighting the character named Grimdark.
And that was my last campaign.
Yeah, I know, but
your current campaign.
We're
like having alternate realities and alternate lives. That one guy was like, wasn't he like, didn't he have like a whip that was a spinal cord or something like that?
Yeah, and Solomon.
It was a spear.
And Solomon.
He had pulled out a spear he had pulled out his mentor's spine and made it as, and now that you've made me say that all in a row.
Yeah.
Explain Solomon real quick.
No, because Solomon was a musician. Was inspired to create a song piece and was being guided through like all of these different like what he thought were dreams, but he was actually summoning a cosmic horror that was going to eat the heart of the world and cause
and,
it to,
and what became of him?
Yeah, what happened to him? What's he doing now?
Oh, he got taken by death.
No, before that.
Before that, yeah.
Oh, he had gotten his body was turned into a gateway for the being, and the being used his flesh to craft its own body.
And just before that?
No, just after that, I think.
Or may have been.
I don't remember.
Didn't he lose, like, most of his limbs?
Well, because the arm had got lost when the creature came over. He did lose a leg.
And we also saw various futures where he continuously was losing an arm and a leg.
Because, yeah, that was
so he always was destined to lose an arm and a leg.
So he had to have it done.
Right.
Yeah, great.
So it's just like really a lot of mutilation.
But listen, I don't claim to be anything like that.
Listen, all of us have our things, you know?
Yeah.
I think that it is something interesting that I kind of want to dig into in like a future thing of just like as a challenge for myself. Can I make kind of a lighthearted version of a TTRPG module, because so far the closest we've gotten is the Granny Snake Eyes adventure, but that still has like a tomb and
one
like
of our bandits and one of our listeners who ran that, they killed all of the NPCs. His party killed all the NPCs. I remember that. I was like, oh, okay.
That's one way.
That's one way. I mean, they're like a rival party, but you're just like, oh, we just fucking murdered all of them.
Yeah. I mean, hey, that's the strategy. For lighthearted, you just need to not be in a combat system.
Yeah,
basically. D&D is combat. It's
a war game.
War. Ooh, what if you turn combat into a food fight?
That's really good. That's actually a really good point.
Now you're using the role systems, but you're keeping it light.
You're humiliating people.
Fireball is just like throwing a pot of soup at throwing it.
Well, you don't have
soup.
You don't have fireball, Nick. We're taking fireball away. you don't include a fireball into your lighthearted food fight.
Now it's beef stew, pot of beef stew.
You don't, Nicholas, no.
Sorry, Rio.
It's pies. And it's soft foods.
Mashed potatoes. Yeah. Pot of mashed potatoes.
You're listing a lot of hot foods.
Well, I like hot foods. That's the ones that I would have with me.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, if you throw a pot of soup on somebody, that maybe will disfigure them forever.
The situation.
What would be the food equivalent to shatter?
You don't make equivalents.
Well, stop making equivalents. It's taking someone to Taco Bell.
Oh,
yeah. I don't like that.
Gross.
Yeah,
that's really gross.
You're in timeout.
This isn't that type of podcast.
Shade died of dysentery.
I regret nothing. I stand by it.
Classic.
Rio, one of the things you wanted to talk about, too, that's bringing a little magic into your life, is PBS's Eons.
Oh, yeah, PBS Eons. 10-minute little deep dives into dinosaurs.
Is it a YouTube thing? Or?
Yes, it's on YouTube. Yeah. I'm sure it's also on PBS.
Shout out to Emily Zirka and Monstrum, another great PBS YouTube studios.
Are we talking about you now?
No, no, going back to you now.
Yeah, so as we all know, dinosaurs are great. And I've just been learning a lot about big lizard boys and big birdie boys.
Yeah.
And I, because you know, like I'm rebuilding my setting.
Yeah.
And I really want to envision a world with like prehistoric megafauna.
Sure.
Because I think it would be a lot more fun if like the world is dangerous because you're sort of like you've put humans back with like the creatures that they couldn't just like hunt and control.
Yeah. I feel like you really have an attraction to like prehistoric sort of like wildlife.
I'm
like
an old soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm billions of years old.
I'm a millennia.
Did you play Turok when you were a kid?
I did not play Turok.
I feel like you would.
That
really
should
like
be something.
Turok.
You
I've seen it. I think I just like, never I had the system get on, that it came
I bet you could get on Steam like an emulator version for like $2.
I would imagine the Switch too, because like I remember the Turok 2. Yeah, yeah, Turok 2 was on N64.
Yeah, you play it on my 64.
There you go. That's like the first person. That's the first person shooter with dinosaurs. Right?
Yeah, they're dinosaurs and like dinosaur aliens.
Right.
It really seems like you should have played it.
There's also Killer Instinct that has a Velociraptor.
Ooh, that is true. Character. Yeah.
I played it recently in an arcade. Killer Instinct is really fun. you can be a skeleton guy. It's so like extra.
Yeah.
It's like over the top.
Yeah.
Like,
it doesn't really stand out in the fighter arena of games, but like it's always been a standard.
There's something that I really miss about the camp of the arcade game.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
Like I went to this little arcade like roller rink place in upstate New York for over New Year's, and there was a Fast and the Furious like racing
game. Oh, here
we
go.
And dude, it was amazing. The first thing that they do is they have a little camera on the thing, and it takes your picture and makes a fake license.
That's great.
It puts it in the corner, and then
your face is
just revoked on it because you're a criminal, right?
Yeah. It just says family. No, but the whole thing was absolutely wild. I had such a blast playing it, but like there's like a level of that I really miss, like those shooters where you have the actual guns that you're like pointing at the screen.
Actual guns.
Yeah, actual guns.
Like you destroy the arcade. It's like, oh shit.
You can only play once.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
But like there's like, you know, like sludge monsters crashing through the ceiling and the sides.
What was it called? House of Slaughter?
Yes.
It was
House of the Dead. Yeah,
House of the Dead.
Both of those.
Me and my friend from way back when used to like take our quarters up there, and this was like adulthood.
Yeah.
And we would just like play out, because you like I think at that point you could like restart your progress if you put in like your code.
Mm-hmm.
We tried so hard to get through that game, and we never could. But it was you don't get the couch co-ops anymore. But I think arcade should bring back the two buddy system.
Yeah,
I have a call out and a shout out.
Okay, call out and shout out.
What do you want first?
Let's start positive and spicy.
Okay. I want to give a shout out to the Barcade in Worcester.
Okay.
That place is dope as hell.
Is it called Barcade?
It's called Barcade.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
That place has got a bar. I don't drink anymore.
Yeah.
But it has an arcade. and it has some like really good like Japanese rhythm games. It's not just like DDR, but like there's like stuff you can do with like your hands or whatever. And it's huge. And you just pay a cover charge of like $10 and you just get all the games. And it's huge, yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
Well, I mean, you pay for them with your cover.
Sure.
And then I want to give a call out to Bitbar in Salem. Because they don't do that.
Motherfucker.
Because they don't do that, and it's really annoying.
Yeah,
it's
that's like, one that I've been to.
Yeah, you've been there. And it's like, oh, you got to get the quarters out or the tokens, and they don't have a lot of machines. And they said that they were going to have a private karaoke rooms.
Did not.
And they don't.
Mm. With Barcade, is that because it's a bar? Do they keep the children out?
So is Bitbar.
Bitbar is also And I think the Worcester place, It might be 21 and up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's so I went to like a. It's in the Assembly. It's like the bowling place. It's called like Top Bowl or something, but it also has like a big like arcade section. Mm. Man, I can never go into a casino because I was I was playing the little like quarter games where you shoot the quarters in and like push stuff up and everything. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, I am playing for literal like tokens, but I was like, give me a full roll of quarters. I'm going to fucking beat this game.
Yeah, I got to tell you. I have a susceptibility to addiction, yeah, and I am I am kind of afraid of like gambling and stuff like that. But like, there's something about like coin games and stuff like that. Yeah. It just doesn't appeal to me at
really?
All.
Really?
Oh. But stuff like
Like pachinko or something.
I could get into that. Yeah,
I could fuck with some pachinko.
Yeah, pachinko seems kind of cool.
I like the little donk donks that it makes as a
Yeah, and you're like, oh, I gotta put it in the right place, and it's like, well, never mind, I'll stop playing. The slot machines, boring.
Yeah, I would never do those. It's always the ones that make you feel like it's a skill game, but it's actually just a waste of money game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like something like roulette, I don't think I'd ever really play, but like I love Texas Hold'em. You know, I'm a big poker idiot. Yeah. I'd probably play some blackjack.
I feel like
I
would love blackjack, though.
Yeah, I think
it's
I could
once you learn how to think about it, it's like I can win this.
Blackjack's
you know
a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah, blackjack's good because you have a little bit of more of an edge than you would against the house.
I think it's like one of the better odds too. It's like 51% or something.
I think the only one that I've ever really got into and played is like a Texas Hold'em.
Yeah, yeah. Like the two cards.
You have two, and you put three on the table.
Yeah,
I like that one.
Up to five. Yeah, I love Texas. We used to play it. Back in high school, we used to break into this like sort of like community center, like in the middle of our community or whatever. Eventually, like my family moved into a gated community. It's less bougie than you think, because it's in Florida, everything's gated.
Yeah,
keep the gators out.
Yeah, yeah, and everything in Florida has a pool as well.
Yeah,
it's a little bougie. We were making our way up, immigrants, you know. but yeah, like we would break into the pool house kind of thing or whatever, and there's like a poker table there, and we would just all play for like nickel and dime games, $5 buy-ins and stuff like that. I once folded a 7-2 offsuit because that's what you're like supposed to do, because it's like the worst hand that you can get.
Yeah.
And then the flop was 7-7-2.
Oh,
I was so fucking pissed.
Like,
and everybody was like, "Why did you fold it?" And I was like, "I was very low on money. I didn't want to pay in. I don't know what to tell you." I was very frustrated.
No, but the thing is, so I actually have an acting friend or colleague, I guess, who is a professional poker player.
Ooh.
Who has been
call them co-stars.
Co-stars.
That's pretty sick. I like that.
but he would actually go to Vegas for like the poker opens and stuff, and like come home with like hundreds of thousands of dollars and stuff. And he was talking
don't
about
tell me that makes you want to do that.
But what he was saying was like, what you did is exactly right. You have to always play your hand for what it actually is.
Yeah.
Like you can never do the like I'm gonna like try to out like I'm gonna beat this guy just by doing it. You can only really play that way when you're playing with rookies, because people who don't know how to play will play kind of randomly, and so you can actually not calculate the odds. But if you're playing with professionals, you just always have to do the odds because everyone is playing the odds, so they are always going to be correct.
it's really fascinating because, like, I don't know. I think that's why Texas Hold'em is like really fun, because you're all – it's such a good game. Yeah. Oh,
I can't hold all those numbers in my head. I have no idea how
to Well, yeah, you don't. Better. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to get that good at it.
Yeah, and the other thing is
play
like –
pals.
Well, because like the way he plays, which, again, wild. No one should get this far into poker unless you want to be like a professional, I guess. But he would be like, okay, so – and I was like asking him, like, how do you think about a hand? And he pulls it out and he's like, okay, so let's take your thing for example. Mm-hmm. He's like, I have a 7-2. That's the worst hand. But I also know that, like, let's say there's three things in the river, and they're like a
what's the river?
The flop, you mean?
Yeah, the flop. I guess. But like and it's like a 5, an 8, and a jack. And so he would just like do all the calculations there of being like, okay, so I have basically one of each number, so that means that there's only three of those left in the deck. Mm-hmm. My odds of those being drawn are X. And if I were to stay in, my probability in two draws that I will get a card that I need to get a hand that has a probability to win is X. And so, like, he was doing, like, this
That's
kind of complicated math. But it was always out of, like, the 52 deck. So it's, like, so you can kind of learn you can kind of memorize the table of multiplication and division you're doing without having
That's
to
wild.
Do, like, intense math once you get good at it. It's a lot of memorization, I think.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm mad and angry at that description. It sounds like chess. You're trying to trick me into playing chess.
I mean,
it's very complex.
Yeah, it's a lot of chess.
Another thing that is like kind of like an easier thing to do, like if you don't, because I've never gotten that deep into like the statistics of poker, but like you were saying, like looking at the flop, seeing like, okay, how many, like what do we have? Is it a rainbow flop, one of each suit? Is it like, is there a chance for a flush draw?
Yeah.
Is there a straight possibility in here? Is there, you know, what's the high pair? What's the low pair? Like if you paired up eights and then there's a jack on the board, somebody could have gotten jacks.
Yeah.
So like there's like smaller calculations like that that you can make. And yeah. then you can also calculate based on how many people are in the hand.
Yeah.
So if there's like, if it's like a family pot where everybody's in mm-hmm. and there's like eight people at the table. But if it's like a one-on-one heads up, then it's like kind of like, oh, okay, like a pair of jacks is like higher chance of me winning because yeah. there's only so many other cards out there. But if like everybody's in, it's like there could be fucking any.
Hey, Shade.
Yeah.
Remember when we used to talk about TTRPGs?
Wait.
And there it was, Wild Magic, our bonus episode that we release monthly for Patreon listeners. Go and check it out. Not only are you going to be able to see all of the episodes that we've released there, but we have lots of behind-the-scenes audio and some module stuff that we've dropped in that feed as well. Go check it out at patreon.com/tabletopped, and we'll see you next month.